I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Better have you naked by the end of this pod, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Luke Moll's here.
I'm already naked.
Jim Campbell's here.
Me too.
Bring the Pete back. It's Pete Donaldson.
I've got my clothes all on.
Four's a ramble.
It
four
is.
Four will always be a ramble.
How are you feeling, Peter?
I feel a lot better. Sorry, I put a lot of hot sauce on some chicken, and for about 3 hours I was vomiting myself up.
So an annoying 3 hours period.
So you weren't ill. It was just a food-related accident.
Well, I mean, technically, not. My stomach was really giving me the problems, and what came from that was the mouth problems.
For those who didn't see it, Pete tweeted, sorry for my absence. There's a rule that we're not allowed open containers of liquid in the studio, and my body was very much an open container of vomit.
Yes.
Which is fair enough. Clever. So you would have be falling foul of the regulations there, Pete, and you were right to stay away.
The Mesut Ozil of the podcast. anyway.
What's going on with that lad?
He's always ill, isn't he?
He needs an arm around the shoulder.
He won't have an arson around the shoulder longer. But well done, Pete. You're back. You're looking fantastic.
Well done.
And that is a smashing blouse you're wearing.
Luke did about 5 shows sounding like absolute toilet because of his throat.
I had to swerve on the continent because I was in a terrible, terrible state. But don't worry. I don't. Unlike you, Pete, I don't like to make a scene.
Well,
you're responsible with your sauce.
I am.
Which cannot be said of Pete.
Yeah. I got, for my birthday, I got a promotional, not promotional, like a big hamper of hot sauce.
Who and got
I
you that?
I thought I could schmear, and I thought I could take it all from the weakest to the hottest.
Yeah.
And so all in one go.
I went up, and the space between the medium hot and the hot. Oh, that was a big gulf.
Was it?
That was like a Wile E. Coyote cavern.
Was that like GCSEs to A-level?
Yeah, it was insane. And that's the thing that killed me.
Was this the morning of a podcast?
1 a.m. Yeah. That's not good, is it?
Sometimes when I do Luke and Pete show with Pete, he'll be like, on the show, he'll say, oh, sorry, I ordered £50 worth of Chinese food at 2 this morning.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel very well. And it's like, why are you doing that?
Who are you with if it's £50 worth?
He's on his own, Marcus.
All right.
He says, I just like everything, so I order it.
To be fair, though, he worked late, didn't he?
Cafe TPT.
No, that's fine. It's not so much the time, it's the amount.
Yeah.
I live next to Chinatown. I just walk down it going, has anyone got any spares?
Oh, give us a fat bird.
Yeah. And funnily enough, at 2 a.m, they've got loads of spares. They're just pleased they get a price for it.
I just want all the squid. Like, nothing else but squid.
Marcus, you could imagine squid. The shop owner's going, he's coming. Yeah. It's like Omar in The Wire.
And I have got a bag.
It's not a shotgun,
squid.
It's chopstick.
Yeah, right. Oh, Stoke City are relegated.
And that is not a laughing matter.
No, it isn't. Oh dear.
Marcus, if you're struggling anyway,
yeah,
and you win one Premier League game from the 30th of December mm-hmm. to the 5th of May, inclusive,
mm-hmm.
could that be described as relegation form?
Well, that's the dictionary definition.
Yeah, I would say so.
And the facts back it up.
And Pete, Marcus and I all support teams who've been relegated from the top flight.
Mm-hmm.
We know what it's like. Jim doesn't, but he can empathise. So we're not mocking you, Stoke, but we did say this was going to happen in our summer.
That's true. Mm. Well, you did, actually, to be fair.
I remember you got quite a bit of flack as well, didn't you, for saying that?
Always happens.
Mm. Bit of Roberta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A bit of Roberta. First time ever I saw your face, Paul Lambert. it was disappointing for Stoke in the actual act, because obviously they went a goal ahead. Yep, and, yep. And Sean Cross, whatever you think of him, and I know Arsenal fans have got an opinion or two about the guy, but he is Stoke through and through. I think mm-hmm. he's been a part of every single Premier League season they've had, and for him to commit that error was particularly galling. And he fronted up afterwards as well and was pretty brave about it. He'll obviously stick around, and I imagine he'll have a great season in the Championship next year, because he's a good defender, mm-hmm. certainly at that level. But
they needed a win anyway.
But absolutely, you know, and but they were a goal up, Marcus. That's my point.
They were a goal up, but his mistake was for 2-1. And to be honest, Palace were the better side, really, especially in the second half. They certainly were. Mm-hmm. And Palace are now safe themselves.
Marcus, if you look at the season, Palace, even if you extrapolate, just take those seven games in isolation where they didn't score a single goal at the start of the season, mm-hmm. and say, give them an average points tally for that seven goals, so give them 9 points or whatever. Well, they're on 50 points. They'd be ahead of Everton. They'd be eighth.
Yeah.
So that's the remarkable job Hodgson's done.
Well, he has, yeah, and it was the first top-flight team to lose their first games of the season and survive. It was the first time that's happened in 118 years.
To lose their first seven games?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is just absolutely incredible. Hodgson's done a great job, you can't deny.
Absolutely. It's also worth noting, as has been noted many times, they didn't actually score a goal in any of those games.
That's right.
It was phenomenally poor. For him to turn it around so well, it's been a huge, huge achievement.
What did you think of Hodgson's comments after, where he said that Stoke played as Palace expected they would, lobbing balls up to Peter Crouch? And then he said he felt sorry for Stoke, and then said, but of course it wasn't Palace who relegated them, it was their results in the 37 games they'd played before. And I knew what he meant, but
had
that have been maybe Sam Allardyce, I'd have thought, that's a dig.
It's funny, isn't it?
100%.
Crystal Palace is a one-man team, and it's me.
That is a perfectly reasonable assessment of it. But he's one of those people that's been around for so long that he's been both a pundit and a manager, and it's almost like he's forgotten which mode to use. Yeah. Oh, actually, maybe this is a bit too analytical.
Do you think it's a bit like, if you can't say anything nice at this point, don't say anything?
Yeah, it's just a little.
I think he basically felt really sorry for them and was saying, it's not us that's done this to you. It really isn't.
He's calling a spade a spade. That's exactly what they were doing.
To be fair,
they're in a relegation scrap. They've got to get a win.
Absolutely right.
They're going to lob balls up to Peter Bloody Crouch.
That's true. And I think a lot of truth in what Hodgson said there. I mean, if you approach a game like that where you haven't won a game for a long time, I think Lambert's only won his first game in charge. That's the last time they won a game. And they are lobbing balls up to Crouch, and he's 37. And that Crouch is still, we've seen him be effective off the bench and score some important goals.
It tells its own story if that's your plan, eh?
Absolutely. And it does, but I also think that that's evidence that they've regressed. Because if you look at, obviously they've regressed because they've been relegated, but regressed in how they play. Because if you look at their first 11 on paper when those players are at their best, Could you say they're the worst team in the Premier League? I'd probably say they wouldn't. I mean, Button's a good goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. He's gutted to get relegated, of course. It was difficult to watch.
Shaqiri's provides something, of course.
Shaqiri's put on some assists this season, scored some goals. I mean, he's not as consistent as you want him to be, given where he's come from. But, I mean, even players like, you know, Zuma's got talent, Shawcross and Vimmer's got talent.
Where was Hesse?
Hesse's nowhere to be seen, yeah.
That looks even more weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To see them in that position and teams like Huddersfield be kind of, you know, moving out of
exactly,
it a little bit,
exactly.
It's so kind of strange.
So when you see teams, you know, because the Premier League is so truncated between those top teams, then you've got the rest, it really does matter if you work your socks off and play to a plan. Mm. And I get flack all the time on Twitter for talking about Benitez and Newcastle, but they're the dictionary definition of that.
Of course they are.
Target the right games, work hard for each other, know what's expected of them, and you can achieve more than you'd ever achieve. And Pete, you spent half of this season saying that Newcastle really are a glorified Championship team in terms of talent. And I don't think you're wrong from that.
But they've
showed how good you can be.
But they're one of the few teams down the bottom end that can bloody defend. That's the difference. He's got a well-marshalled defence and a pretty decent midfield when they're on their game. So yeah, it's organisation and players listening to what the manager has to say.
But the
Newcastle players haven't seen a decent manager since Chris Hughton, probably.
And
I don't know.
And Newcastle haven't. I think Newcastle have conceded fewer goals than Arsenal this season in the Premier League.
Wow. Well, I mean, what you basically said there is. Between Benitez and Houghton,
know exactly what I'm talking about.
Pardew and Carver.
but I'm just saying that like having a manager that actually understands how football works and understands
completely.
Not only how to control people's personalities or, you know,
Pete,
impress your own shitty personality on you, to actually organise and marshal something like a defence is so important.
It's about maximising what he has at his disposal rather than minimising the impact of the other side, which I think is a real, you know, key difference in what makes a good manager and an okay manager.
I think that's right. Pete, for the last 12 Newcastle managers, I'm going to read them and I just want you to give me a yes or no. You're not permitted to say anything else other than yes or no.
Yes or no.
Okay, 12, ready?
Right. And we're going to do the same with you and Arsenal.
Yeah, you'll hear what we're doing, 12. First up, I'll start from the far
furthest
away.
Back.
Yeah, first back. First up, Nigel Pearson.
Nigel Pearson?
I forget he was there for a while, yeah.
Yes or no? Just say yes or no.
No.
Kevin Keegan.
Yes.
Yes.
Chris Hughton.
Yes.
Joe Kinnear.
Yes.
Chris Hughton again.
Yes.
Alan Shearer.
Yeah.
You got to say no. He took him down.
Am I allowed to sort of go?
You have to say no.
I have to say no at some point.
Chris
Hughton. You'll get your no. You'll get your fucking no.
Chris Hughton again.
Yes.
How that man suffered.
Alan Pardew.
I'm going to go in no.
No. John Carver.
Yeah. That was fun.
Steve McLaren.
Oh, no.
McLaren. No, 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 no.
And Rafa's obviously.
Rafa.
Yeah. I think that was an excellent exercise and well worth doing.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyway, sorry for Stoke.
Yeah, very sorry. Just one more quote from Hodgson. You always need a band leader, and I've been quite happy to hold the baton. I'll enjoy the credit I get, but I'm wise and sensitive enough to know it's not one man.
Oh. He's loving it.
He's going, remember England? I don't.
Yeah.
Look what I've just done.
Remember Liverpool? I don't either.
But I remember this one.
The Liverpool fans presumably fuming about it. I haven't typed in Liverpool Hodgson for a while.
Red, white and cough.
Yeah, presumably they're gutted that he's done well.
I've no idea. But obviously that's Hodgson's level these days, and that's absolutely fine, keeping a side in the Premier League against all the odds, certainly when he took over. But Stoke, it's sad to see them go because they've been a regular feature in the last 10 years in the Premier League. And it's when a club goes up into the Premier League, and again, against the odds, stays up and establishes themselves as a Premier League side. It is a bit of a shame to see them go back down. And it's quite surprising, really.
We've got a replacement, haven't we?
We
lined
do.
Up. More on that later. A perfect replacement lined up with a great British manager as well, to boot.
let's stay down in the bottom half of the Premier League. Southampton were very close to a massive win.
Yeah, good, isn't it?
Such a knob.
It was the last kick of the game, wasn't it? I think
the equaliser. The referee.
The biggest surprise of the weekend for me in any league in the world was that West Brom are still sat.
It's incredible.
They're not down and they're off the bottom of the Premier League. And that Everton goal, the last gasp Davis goal, and of course their own very own goal by Jake Livermore in the last seconds against Spurs, were the two goals that kept them. I mean, if they survive, It's the greatest escape of all time. I don't think it's going to happen at all, but it's remarkable that West Brom is still alive.
If we go get through this midweek, and obviously we'll talk about those games on Thursday.
Gosh, so many different...
And it's still on. Then you've got to be loving it. You've got to be loving it.
Well, it's still very unlikely. But it is,
but if they can get it into their own hands with that run of form against Palace, who are already safe...
Yeah, but they can't get it in their own hands, though. I think that's the point.
They cannot... It's not going to be in their own hands at any point, Jim, because they need, obviously, something to happen midweek for them. They need a draw. Yeah. And then even when they win, if they win on the final day, they still need other teams to lose.
They need, I think, a little bit of a goal swing as
well. Fair enough. Yes. It's tough, isn't it?
It is very... Yeah, it's not...
That's what I'm saying, we're being a bit premature.
What you said at the time, as I'm sure a lot of other people did, is Pardew was just... It clearly wasn't working. It was going nowhere. And even Pardew kept saying, I'll be lucky to still be here next week. Why on earth did they not do this sooner? I know it's easy with hindsight, but clearly with Pardew, there was going to be no upturn in fortune. Even Pardew knew that. He'd given up.
Yeah.
Darren Moore comes in. I mean, West Brom are unbeaten in five. Only Liverpool have had a longer unbeaten run. They've beaten Spurs. They've beaten Manchester United.
Darren Moore might become the first manager to ever win Manager of the Month and be relegated in the same breath.
You do wonder.
But Marcus, just on the Everton-Southampton game, because I should come. Yeah, I've been quite frivolous then. I want to just justify. I'm obviously only teasing, but my interpretation of the event around the Everton equaliser is that obviously 5 minutes before that, Yoshida is sent off, which causes Southampton a big problem. It's a terrible tackle. He's already on a yellow.
Very silly.
And I know Southampton fans have been upset about the refereeing decisions in this game, and I do have sympathy with them to an extent.
Mainly in the extra time, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But that sending off was a nail. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. The only contextual... the only way I want to put this into context, really, is just by saying... Yes, the foul in Everton's left back area was probably questionable, and yes, it was taken from a different point where the foul took place, and that is wrong. However, it was taken in the left back position. Mm. There's about two or three phases of play since then, which Southampton didn't deal with.
Well, of course,
and there were some decisions made that were poor by was it Redmond who tried to clear it when he could have just let it go out.
Bertrand, sorry,
Redmond scored the goal, didn't he? And so I understand. Frustration because of the situation they're in. But the way Mark Hughes spoke about the officiating, which I agree really was poor, but how over the top he was about it, it made it look a little bit petty because really Southampton had the chances to win that game to the point where at half time, Everton fans were booing again because their team was so poor. Well, so it was there for them to take. They just didn't take it.
But for once, I actually agreed with Mark Lawrenson on the radio. He basically said, if you've got 6 minutes to score a goal, if Everton have got 6 minutes to score a goal, Southampton have got 6 minutes to defend a goal. So defend it. You know what I mean? It's all still a living level playing field. You didn't have to let that goal go in. So.
They were a bit unlucky with the deflection, though, Pete, as well. Yeah.
It was a horrific way for Southampton to concede. They were very unlucky, and it was so deflating for them. And as Hugh said, it felt like a defeat.
The manager should not be saying that, by the way. The manager shouldn't, Marcus, sorry to cut in, but manager should not be saying that publicly in a relegation fight. Yeah. He should be saying, no, it doesn't feel like a defeat. It's a great point away from home, and we're going to build
it. No, he can't say it's a great point.
He should be.
He is emotive and deflated there, isn't he? And that's what's going on. And also, it makes you wonder whether that was the right appointment because, you know, it's a firefighting job, isn't it, at that point? When you get someone in that late, it's all about just getting everyone motivated.
But he has, though, to an extent. I mean, they're very unlucky not to win away.
He's picked up more points than I thought he was going to.
And they're not in the relegation at the moment,
They beat Bournemouth, which put them in this situation. I understand what you're saying, Jim. But
bearing in mind his reputation is that he starts so bloody slowly. Like, he's started a lot quicker than he ever has before.
I just, if that deflection doesn't go in, Southampton have got a great win there, and the whole thing is different. Mm. It's absolute margins. That's all it comes down to, you know. And Bournemouth did Southampton a favour by beating Swansea. It's still in Southampton's hands. That game against the Swans on Tuesday night is enormous. it's absolutely massive.
It's the biggest Tuesday night game since, well, a Champions League match.
Since Real Madrid versus Bayern Munich.
Since any Champions League match. No, not really. And Southampton play City on the final day. So this is the interesting sort of subtext of this game on, is it Tuesday night or Wednesday night?
Tuesday night.
Is that Southampton, if they draw, that's a much worse result for Southampton than it is for Swansea. Because Southampton playing Man City on the final day.
Swansea are playing Stoke.
Yeah, exactly. They're
already
all
relegated.
But I know City didn't put up any trees at the weekend. But you have to favour City.
Of course.
And so that means Southampton are going to have to go for it. Now that means they'll probably open up. And Swansea need to tap into that form they showed when Carvalhal took the job the first time around, because they've been drifting for weeks and weeks now.
Yeah,
but it's a massive game.
Southampton have got a better goal difference. Excuse me. So if they do draw, then they just need to equal or better Swansea's result. But as you say, easier said than done. I mean, will we see Southampton? If they're walking off the pitch against Man City, they're relegated, and Guardiola's going to go over to Redmond and start shouting at him.
Yeah. I told you last time.
Yeah.
You've not learned.
Now you're down. Yeah. That'll really... Yeah. That'll annoy people. Mm. But you're right, Southampton, they're the one... The onus is on them, to despite the better goal difference, the onus is them to go and get the win. But of course, if it is a draw, then...
It's at Swansea as well, isn't it?
It is. Mm. If it is a draw, then West Brom... Let's bring them back into this chat for a
They'll
moment.
They'll be like a dog with two dicks.
Well,
won't they?
If it's a draw, and it can, if it's any other result, then West Brom are down, I believe. But if it's a draw, Swansea then need to lose to Stoke, and Southampton need to lose to Manchester City, and West Brom need to beat Crystal Palace, and there'd be enough of a goal swing. I think it's about a 5-goal swing in West Brom's favour. So West Brom beat Palace 2-0 on the final day. Southampton lose 3-0 to Manchester City after drawing with Swansea, and Swansea lose to Stoke, and West Brom are safe.
Well, that would be delicious,
wouldn't it?
Permutational narrative.
There you go.
Indeed. I mean, that would be very similar to the great escape that West Brom pulled off before, wasn't it?
So that's
they've
right.
got previous.
Yeah, this one. I think this one would take the biscuit.
That has no bearing on it.
That's
but
right.
Got previous. Yeah.
I can't see it happening, of course. But Man City. They can be got at, as Huddersfield nearly found out. I mean, obviously, they've got a good point. Could have a couple of chances there, but a decent point, it has to be said.
It was incredible that Huddersfield were able to keep that up, because never seen, particularly in the first half, I've never seen a game played so consistently, not in the Huddersfield half, in the final third, without them conceding a goal. It was
but
incredible.
They had a couple of moments, though.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
they did have a couple of moments, but it was a great point. And really, Huddersfield just need a point from their last two games, Chelsea away and Arsenal at home. So easier said than done. But, you know, obviously they may not need a point, you know, if results go their way. And we should also say that Brighton are now safe.
They are.
They're safe now.
Marcus, you...
Last time we spoke about this, they weren't safe. They're safe now. That's how it works. All right? That's how it works. Great job. Job well done.
You've been copping a bit of flack this week, haven't you, online? I think you want to bounce back, don't you? You want to bite back at your critics.
Well, my critics then started saying, my critic... I just think it's one bloke. He's just a different Twitter
account. Got a few logins.
Yeah. I also like think Pete. It's you, Luke.
Yeah. I'm well busy. I'm too busy with the Arsenal stuff.
when you say stuff like that about a man like Marcus Bellet.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. When people were saying, oh, you know, when Brighton beat Manchester United, they're saying, oh, are Brighton safe now? I was like, yes. This is not my opinion. You know, I did say I didn't think Brighton would go down, and I was right.
Yeah,
I was right.
Should we do a special next month?
Well spun.
Called Marcus Speller Has the Last Laugh. Yeah. you just talk about all the time. Right.
And I'll just do a Pulis impression. Remember when he laughed when Palace drew 3-3 with Liverpool?
Yeah.
To stop Liverpool, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just I'll give it a bit of that. West Ham.
Yeah.
They got the result they needed and are safe from relegation.
Let's take a moment to appreciate Mark Noble.
Beauty. Beauty.
Mm. Absolute beauty. It reminded me of Mangalan's goal for Roma against Liverpool a bit.
Off the side of
the post, across the keeper.
It
was better, yeah.
It was on the vol.
It was better. Mm.
It was, of all the people in that side that you thought, you know, if they wanted to score a great goal to ensure the safety, you choose Mark Noble, West Ham through and through. And they really now can go into the games against Manchester United and Big Sam's Everton without any fear.
Yeah. What did you make of Aaron Cresswell's decision to just grab the ball?
Yeah,
I think you got to walk for that personally.
Yeah,
that's absolutely outrageous.
Was it seen though? Because I mean, it was only on like the third camera angle.
You got
a
yellow.
See quite how
he got a yellow for it.
Well,
and it would have been given a foul for him.
I just wonder if the referee saw like quite how profoundly it was a grab of the ball.
So the grab is what's annoying you.
Fingertips. Yeah. The fingertips going in.
It's one of those things he's made
and
the
shouting
decision,
Aussie rules as he did it.
he's done like a peak Steven Gerrard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just awarded himself a foul. But there's no way anyone's catching Vardy if he's away there.
No.
I think that's, for me, I think I'd have to relook at the FIFA laws of the game.
Well, I think a red card might have been harsh. I need to look at it again.
Give him it.
Give him a red card.
Because that is retrospective.
We cannot, it's a thin end of a wedge. When a defender thinks, that striker coming behind me is one of the quickest forwards in the league and he's probably going to score, so I'm going down and I want to pick the ball up. Which is essentially what he's done.
Yeah,
I mean, what's he trying to do? Invent rugby again? We don't need another rugby.
The
only time you get a red is like goal line handling, I reckon. That's probably in the rules. That's what I think.
There you go. Pete, why wouldn't you send him off, Pete?
Why would you bother reading the rules of the game when you got Donny here?
Exactly. So, Donny, tell me whether he should have been sent off or not.
No, it's just a yellow. It's fine.
Pathetic.
A yellow with a little smiley face, little smiley winking face going cheeky. cheeky boy. Yeah. Oh, little cheeky boy.
Perhaps an emoji.
Yeah.
Which is yellowed predominantly anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's the future of cards. We can have hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Well, and
culminating in when a striker misses an absolute sitter, the poo emoji.
Yeah. So, is that a concern for you, Luke, that this is going to be the future, that players will just be going down picking the ball up?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the end of a wedge. And we've already got two varieties of rugby. We don't need a third.
So many thin edges.
It's true, but West Ham, they're up.
They are.
They're up.
They're staying up. They're up.
Yeah.
They're
sorry, staying to the up. Super League.
Marcus, are West Ham safe? Marcus, are Leicester safe?
Why are you asking me? The facts are there.
Because
you're
the host of this damn thing. That's why.
I can deliver the facts without opinion. But yeah, West Ham, they are going to be playing Premier League football next season, just like Brighton are.
But not like Fulham.
Not like Fulham. Well, who knows?
No, you never know, actually. Yeah, fair enough.
That's
yeah.
true. Will Claude Puel
Claude Puel. He should be called that.
Yeah, I think so. Will he be still there?
Well, it's looking.
He's under pressure, Jim.
Yeah, pressurised, isn't it? Because you said a few weeks ago that there's a bit of a Puel out kind of crowd gathering, and I searched that on Twitter, and it's getting louder all the time. And I mean, barely anyone.
Something wrong with your computer,
there.
Mate.
Yeah. I don't want you looking at. No. To be honest.
Before you know it, it'll be covered in thermal paste.
Indeed, and yeah, and just.
Yeah,
weird
thermal paste.
Stuff.
Yeah, carry on, Jim.
Yeah, it's like barely anyone stayed behind, did they? For the lap of honour,
yeah, I thought that was
really
a shame.
Interesting. I think the same was true at Everton as well.
But so losing at home to West Ham will do that to a fan.
Indeed, yeah, true. But I think Moyes has done a really good job there. It's got to be said, or in terms of completing his remit. When you look at how unfit the players were when he took over, and all the problems he had to deal with, I know it's people aren't going to be singing from the rooftops about this season for West Ham, and they're going to be delighted to see the back of it. But they could have gone down, and he has stopped that from happening.
Yeah, when you said he's done a really good job, I went to jump in there, but then I did think to myself, actually, when all's considered, keeping them up.
Is that all managers have to do nowadays?
Well, no.
Everybody just gets a job. It's like, please don't send us down. It's like, oh, brilliant, brilliant. Makes us play absolute shite football with like a ridiculous amount of money behind you, and don't get us relegated.
But Rafa did a good job, though.
Rafa did a good job.
Yeah. I know what you mean, though. I wouldn't say really good job. I think
he's probably overstating it a little bit.
But you're right.
They were in a terrible state.
They were in a terrible state, and all the stuff that's happened at that club. Very, very difficult.
And
job.
Continues to happen.
And will continue.
Will
again,
continue.
Like, can't stress it enough. When he took over the club, the players weren't running enough.
No.
That's how much work he had to do.
And how's Karen Brady's new TV show going on?
And some of the fans...
That would be the cherry on the top of the cake for me.
Is Marcus in it or not?
Some of the fans were doing more running than the players on the pitch.
Indeed.
When you put it in that context, obviously we understand this is related to off-pitch stuff as well, but it got so bad that in the middle of a game, the fans were getting on the pitch to protest in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
And they're still going to be in the Premier League. So Moyes does deserve credit for that. But all joking aside, not going to be easy to maintain your focus, to keep pushing when really the fans are so unhappy, not necessarily for what the team has done, but they're so unhappy anyway that your home games appear to be a bit of an albatross around your neck.
Yeah.
Well done, Moyes.
And next season, speaking of handball and the ball, NFL is going to be played in that stadium today. Ricky.
Is it really?
I think so.
To be honest, every stadium in London is like going to be hosting
the
NFL
now,
team.
I'm telling you something now, based on what's happened with the West Ham organisation this season, that game will be scheduled at the same time as the West Ham home game.
It'll be scheduled at half time.
Can you do a half each?
Well, they're looking at the little playbooks. Yeah. West Ham run on.
just try not to get in each other's way.
Mark Noble's got a helmet on.
West Ham fans West Ham fans going absolutely apoplectic in the stands.
And Karen Brady going, can I have your attention, please? You are getting two games for one here. So we will be charging an extra tenner.
There you go.
Double bubble. All literal. Right. Lee.
We are going to talk about Arsene Wenger after this little thing.
Do we have to?
Beautiful young eggs. Eggs that need a mum to take care of them.
Scott McTominay there.
Six games.
No, he didn't play. Still five. Still five.
Still
stars.
Five.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Still five.
Yeah. Well, now it's time for correspondence with PTD.
It is time for correspondence with PTD. Thank you so much for chucking to me. So
Pete,
you
should thank Jim for stepping in for you as well while you're away.
I was down with a sickness. Oh, wow.
There we go.
Back on the buttons. Hello to Jim.
Interesting, thank you.
Luke was taking the piss with the buttons. Did you hear that?
I heard him, yeah, messing around.
I wasn't. I was just enjoying a bit of Steve McLaren.
Little naughty boy.
As you were at Newcastle for a while.
Little naughty boy.
James Hill just wanted to make a comment about the fact that he's living in Dubai the past couple of years. He's dealing with Keaton Gray out on Middle East TV. Oh, apparently. This new thing they're really annoyed about, modern footballer nonsense, is to get angry about the Stoke Palace match where Ryan Shawcross led the team out on the pitch. It was noticed by Keys that some of the mascots were children of the players. I've not noticed this end of season tradition before because it is completely irrelevant and dismissed it immediately as a harmless token the kids had probably been looking forward to for a couple of weeks. But not Keys. He was actually incensed that anyone in the Stoke team or their spawn should ever consider enjoying the occasion for what was literally 5 minutes. According to Keys, there is a big difference between holding your own child's hand before a match instead of the hand of a child you don't know. After the match, Keys was adamant that the fact that some of the players walked out with their kids contributed to the defeat and therefore ultimately gave them relegation because they had the audacity to enjoy the match.
Richard Keys there, a man who literally had sex with his daughter's friend. Oh, ah! Happened. It happened.
Martin Nash is an highlight of the weekend. James Dunn and Jimmy Dunn.
Pete, Jim and Mark have gone. So it's gone, just you and me. Yeah.
Martin, I don't like the intensity. It's the Luke Pete Show. Martin Nash's highlight of the weekend was James Dunn and Jimmy Dunn getting sent off in the same minute for opposing teams in the Swindon versus Accrington match.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm having that. That's nice. Fun. That's good, that, isn't it?
Richard Keys, got any comment on that? Or
no. Right.
This is from Sam Baldwin. Hi, boys. I recently came across a story from the 1930 World Cup that I thought you'd quite enjoy. During the semi-final between Argentina and the USA, do you know, you guys know this one? The referee, John Langness, worth a Google himself, he wore a jacket, a tie, a pocket square and plus fours whilst officiating.
Oh, that's lovely.
He was involved in an incident with the medical attendant of the US side. The Americans had already lost a man after 10 minutes, broken leg, no subs. And he was infuriated by a foul being given against them. The US doctor, and I quote, raced bellicose onto the field to berate Langness. Having had his say, he flung his box of medicines to the ground. The box burst open, various bottles smashed, including one full of chloroform.
Oh, no.
And its fumes rose to overpower the American. He was helped from the field. That's a proper flounce, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
You blagging man! Gone all floppy.
It was just a bit of fun.
Is that chloroform for medical purposes? I hope so.
Thank you very much to Sam Baldwin for that email. If you want to get in touch with the show, as always, it's show@thefootballramble.com.
And apologies to Richard for that, Richard Keys for that. But just so you know, if you are listening, Richard, it's a bit of a dig I've had at you there, but it was just banter.
It was just banter. It was indeed.
Ah, lovely banter. Right then, where are we? Ah, yes, we're at Arsenal. And I send off for Big Veng.
Yeah.
Yeah, strange to see him saying goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed very, very emotional himself, didn't he?
He didn't cry.
Quite stunted, and he didn't cry, but you could see that he was very much overwhelmed by the occasion. And the game itself felt like a testimonial, didn't it? It was a weird.
Yeah, Burnley did that.
Burnley did that bit, didn't they? Yeah.
They did.
We're in Europe. Fuck you.
Yeah. Oh dear. Yeah. Obviously, it's a shame that his last game won't be the Europa League final. But
no. I was very.
I was a bit torn by the whole thing.
I was quite moved, actually, because I mean, in the news, we've heard that Sir Alex Ferguson's having health problems, and we wish him and his family all the best, of course. And these two are the grandfathers of the Premier League, really, in terms of management. And to see Wenger say goodbye in depending on what reports you believe, potentially a way that he didn't perhaps want, or a time that he didn't perhaps want. In the stadium, really, that is the house that Wenger built, it almost fit. I felt quite moved by it because I felt this is a man who's achieved an incredible amount, but there's a bittersweet taint to it. Just from my point of view, which I felt was quite moving and a little bit sad. But for what he's done for the game, for what he's done for that club, again, you can't praise him enough. One of the greats, and he'll always be remembered for that. And of course, he'll always be welcome back at Arsenal now, whenever he wants to go.
Well,
there.
And sit in the stands, as he joked as well. He'd happily sit in the North Bank.
I don't think anybody really with half a brain or more is saying anything different than what a great man, what a great servant to the club, all that stuff.
But it has been like three seasons of like...
Oh, it's been, just maybe
that,
more.
That, his home has been just everyone shouting, get out of our club. And then it gets switched around for his final day. And I understand why they have to do that. But it left us some... a slight metallic taste in my mouth. It was just kind of, it was just a little bit like,
what was that hot sauce?
There are some of the older gentlemen who, you know, with their bed sheets over the past couple of seasons, you know, screaming until they're blue in the face. In a quiet moment, I think they might turn around themselves, maybe look themselves in the mirror and go,
say, job well done.
Job done, move on.
Got what we wanted.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Twitter, Pete, a lot of those men are not doing that at all.
No, are they doubling down or are they just sort of...
stepping away.
Are they stepping away? Right, okay, yeah.
Obviously, their methods are wrong and the fierceness of their views are wrong, but... ultimately, they wanted him moved on.
It reminded me very much, in a weird way, from an own personal experience, Bobby Robson taking to its logical conclusion.
Yes.
The team had stagnated somewhat. He couldn't kind of get them over a particular level.
Yeah.
But
and they were taking the piss a bit, the players. And
Jermaine Jennings was taking the piss, yeah. And, like, and they weren't playing for him. And I just sort of think that sometimes maybe another, you know, 10 years under the belt would have ended up in a slightly
not
similar
even 10,
place.
But yeah.
Well,
but Jim, on the performance itself and the context of this, I'll just give you is that it really annoyed me that Portsmouth had a really good win at home on the last day of the season,
and everyone, it was overshadowed.
Everyone was no. The Pompey wins generally are. That it was very nice, and everyone was very happy, and it was a great day out. And we won 2-0, and it was easy. But when it came to the crunch, those three or four really important games Portsmouth had, they just couldn't do it, and it pisses me off when that happens as a fan of the club. With Arsenal. Is there any sort of resentment there that they, when it really mattered? I know Atletico Madrid are a good team, but that they were able to roll Burnley over really easily, and that they couldn't apply themselves well enough against Atletico.
Well, with all due respect to Burnley, they are a very, very different prospect from Atletico, especially away from home. But actually, I think the opposite is true, to be honest, mate, because, you know, Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan are very, very new to the team. And it actually gives me a fair bit of hope for the future that the new man coming in has a lot of really good raw materials to work with. A lot of people with... seemed to think that when Aubameyang came in, that meant Lacazette would leave in the summer.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were basically making that assumption, but they have really forged a good partnership very, very quickly. Yeah. So
you've got an interesting idea about raw materials, mate.
But perhaps the new manager, whoever that is, has a little bit more to work with than maybe people thought.
And certainly, you know,
going forward,
I think the squad's better now than it was at the start of the season. And when you look at all the, you know, the faff around losing Alexis Sanchez and how that was considered to be this huge sort of nail in Arsenal's coffin, actually it's been a burden that's been lifted.
The biggest priority for the new manager, which I hope we can get in quickly, will be this defensive thing, because now Koscielny might well find his best years behind him now. It'd be difficult for him to come back from such a serious injury. Mm-hmm. And Mustafi's obviously had his problems this season, so they need to find some new
money.
It was nice to see Mavropanos given a home debut.
Yeah.
He did well in the game I saw him to play, but that was his second game, wasn't it? Before that, he did very well.
Chambers actually came on against Atletico and played pretty well, didn't he?
I was really disappointed with them midweek. I thought they would.
Last week.
Atletico will do that to you.
Yeah. I agree with you.
They looked incredibly disjointed. They looked incredibly... the lack of urgency and the lack of penetration. I know they had a lot of players behind the ball, but Arsenal just looked not disinterested, just really unfocused. And that might be the manager, that might be the players. I just thought it was a really big opportunity missed against a team that could have conceded.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that Arsenal had such a great chance against Atletico to not take anything into the second leg. I spoke about that sort of slightly differently, and that's all done and dusted. And don't want to go over.
Are Arsenal safe in the Premier League market?
They are, but I think they had a great chance to beat Atletico, and then I'm sure they would have beaten Marseille in the final. I know that's whatever that's worth, that opinion. I mean, it's nothing essentially, but it's such a great shame, and it would have been wonderful to see Wenger finish with the European trophy. Yeah. And that's what happened. And I think it's the way this has finished. You know, had he have won an FA Cup even or something? The fact is Arsenal have not challenged for the Premier League title realistically to the very latter stages for about 12 years or whatever it is.
Look at this team and think, is that a European champion? It's just, it's not really a surprise that they're not in the Europa League final.
There we are. But it was nice to see Pert Mertesacker given a little run out.
Pert Mertesacker?
Yeah, he was.
He was Pert.
He is very Pert. So there we are.
And juicy.
Well, another one of Wenger's children, Olivier Giroud. He's not really, was he? He was, if you know what I mean. He got the winner for Chelsea.
Cracking head of that.
Lovely head. Chelsea could yet finish in the top four, which would be quite remarkable. Chelsea win the FA Cup and finish top four, it'd be the end of a season, you wouldn't have thought from them.
The manager's not even probably turned up for training. Can't be bothered.
James Horncastle was saying this on the continent. He was saying maybe Conte's looking around and thinking, actually, I might want to give myself the option of staying.
His options are sort of becoming a bit limited, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, but it was a good win. Liverpool were at full strength, which showed Klopp's intention.
I was very disappointed with Liverpool, but I could see the result coming a mile off. Mm. I understand why perhaps they're a bit tepid, but I don't know if Liverpool fans will agree with me, but it might, you know, depending on what happens in the final game of the season, it might start to become the time to worry about this front three, because Salah was absolutely anonymous against Roma in the second leg. He's anonymous again against Chelsea. He was awfully poor against Chelsea. And so was Firmino, actually. Mm. Mane was the only one that really showed a bit of endeavour, and you expect that from Mane. But you expect it from Firmino.
But you're just talking about, I appreciate two big games, but you may well be right, and we'll certainly see in the final of the Champions League if that's the case. But it could be a case of, you know, against Roma, they just thought, oh, we're always in control here, don't want to do too much. Difficult one to go into, the game against Chelsea, because you do have this final that's...
I did say that, and I think, and I caveated it by saying it depends what happens on the final day, because they should have enough to beat Brighton at home, who are safe.
Yeah, so in my opinion, they're safe.
and so that will be indicative. And I understand players don't want to get injured, they don't want to miss. I mean, because with respect to Liverpool, we've got a glorious European history, and we all know that. It is a big deal for Liverpool to be in the Champions League final, more than Real Madrid. So Liverpool players will clearly not want to miss it, so I get that, but I don't know if any Liverpool fans out there are getting a little bit worried about the form of Salah and Firmino going into this game, given what we've seen in the last two games.
Mm. Which is, do you think it might just be that they're kind of taking their feet off the pedals they're in a weird situation, aren't they, because they're not guaranteed top four yet. Chelsea look the team in the strongest form there.
I think Klopp's got to go into the game against Brighton saying to his players, you're playing for a place in the Champions League.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though the front three, we know, are always going to play. Yeah.
And also the midfield are like the only three fit ones. So.
Yeah. But we've got no other players, but you still... I will play with eight men if you don't perform here.
And Chelsea do need to go to Newcastle on
and
the last day of the season.
Get something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And they look good against Watford.
On the beach.
Pete, lovely double save from the keeper. He certainly wasn't on the beach from that penalty and the follow-up.
Yeah. The keeper will always do that. Now then.
He won't always do that. That's the point. That's why it's good.
No, he'll always give 100%.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Don't question the integrity.
He's played like 10 matches in the Premier League. Did you watch him when he was elsewhere? Like
on his debut, Pete.
Well, that's player of the season stuff, according to Mourinho. That's it. He was player's player. He'd bring
it. Ticks.
Mourinho's given him the Man United goalkeeper of the season.
Let's go to the Championship. Neil Warnock's done it again. Yeah. For a record-breaking eighth time, he's won promotion.
Bust them out.
Incredible record.
Ask a Leeds fan.
He is on a collision course again with John Cross.
Of course he is.
John Cross presented Arsene Wenger with a lovely bottle of wine from the 2004 vintage year in his final press conference, which is a nice moment.
Yeah.
Nice.
He loves Arsenal, does our John?
Yeah, he does.
He will.
Back to Warnock.
I like John. I think he's all right.
He's absolutely loving life, Neil Warnock. Yeah. He believes it's the best job he's done in his club career. Well, obviously club career, he's not managed at international level, something we can all get behind if that opportunity presents itself. And of course, the perceived chances of Cardiff going up, you know, that it was big odds. It was sort of 33 to 1.
Second bottom or something, weren't they?
Yeah,
when he joined, to
even get into the playoffs, it was something like 33 to 1, let alone automatic promotion. And the unlikeliness of Cardiff being promoted has not been lost on Neil Warnock.
He is absolutely loving it.
Yeah. He is a dog with a multitude of appendages.
As you would expect, yeah.
Yeah. I know we're not easy on the eye. You know when you get criticised at times in certain games, but you can only work with what you've got. So he's sort of mugging off his own players there.
Yeah. Love it.
Again, get a load of me. He did say that he didn't know any Cardiff fans that don't like him.
Do the voice.
I don't know any Cardiff fans that don't like me. What is he? But I tell you now, you look at some of the managers in Premier League and Championship, the fans at their clubs don't like them. It's horrible. And I don't need that at my age.
Well, you are going to have that. He
said, you'll have it around about Christmas.
The great thing for me, Mark, watching this press conference was I went to the press conference for one thing.
Yeah.
Right? Which was, is Neil Warnock going to manage the Premier League next season? Give me assurances. And it looks like he is. I'm delighted.
When I came to Cardiff, the biggest compliment I heard was that the fans said, well, I've never liked him, but I've always wanted him to manage us.
There you go. One person said
that.
And what scenes? I mean, you guys, we don't have to cast our minds back too long for Vincent Tam being the most derided, like, Bond villain hated, owner in football, and now he's being carried on the shoulders of fans.
Yeah,
after the final game at home, where they've won.
It was the trousers and the changing of the shirts.
Not once, but they've gone into the the Premier League. Amazing. Mm. Yeah, obviously he changed the shirts back. I don't know how high his waistline is now. No. We'd have to get confirmation on that. We're going to see a lot more of him next season, Pete.
Damn right,
well,
we are.
If his waistline goes really down, yeah, we will.
And they've also and Cardiff and Warnock does deserve credit. I know they spent a bit of money on a player in January. Was it Gary Medin for about £6 million? Mm. But Fulham, Villa, Wolves. These teams have spent a lot of money. Yeah, lot of money. You know, Villa have spent a huge amount of money, and Cardiff haven't done that. And he's also done a bit of a fix-up job on a number of players. He's brought players through from teams like Rochdale. Did Mendes Lang come from Rochdale? He's made them better. And he deserves an immense amount of credit for that, because he's a wily old fox and his teams don't look great and they don't play great football. But
he is right when he says you've got to work with what you've got.
Definitely. Yeah, and just saying, finally, just very, very briefly, you know, it doesn't mean you can't be popular if you play at top of football. Look at Burnley.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Burnley now. Mm-hmm. Inexplicably, mm-hmm. Burnley are like everyone loves them. Mm-hmm. I watched something on TV the other day with a journalist, and I forget which one it was saying Burnley are the team he likes to watch the most in the Premier League because they work so hard and all that stuff. Mm. Well, Neil Warnock's teams do that.
Mm. Well, and you know, second only to Wolves, who finished, 99 points for crying out loud. Beaten 3-0 by Sunderland on the final day.
Yeah, incredible.
That's very strange. But apart from that, or that aside rather, Warnock has done a fantastic job. I mean, Warnock said his greatest strength is his people management skills, man management.
Which sounds mad, doesn't it?
Mm. Well, it does.
Because the way he talks.
Of course. But actually, you know, having met the man, albeit briefly, I've really liked him. He seemed very nice. I'm sure other people have maybe differing accounts. But
it definitely takes more than that. To
Warnock,
but he said Warnock what he's doing.
Warnock could absolutely convert Marcus into a jobbing right back. No, no question.
And in a way, he has.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with my age. But but Warnock, he said about going into a club, he will talk to all departments in the club.
Mm.
He will talk to the people doing the admin, obviously the chairman and all the rest of it, the players, the coaching stuff. He will go in and he will look at everyone. He'll give people the time of day, I would imagine. He will have a nice word to say about everybody. He'll get it all going. And it is a very old school British way where the manager kind of controls everything.
He's the fulcrum. He's the whole club. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I know that's kind of dying out, but you know, the age of the man testifies to that. You know, he's born in a different era and so on. But it's worked. Cardiff are back in the Premier League. That end of. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's an incredible job.
But
he's
done. A new Stoke.
but it would have been oh god!
But they nearly. But I mean, it was Birmingham who did them a favour. I mean, yeah, Fulham really stuffed it up. A win would have taken Fulham.
Well, Cardiff absolutely dominated Reading, but they couldn't score. And if Fulham had won, they'd have gone.
That's
they?
Right. They would have. They would have been there. And I do worry for old Fulham now, because the team who finishes third, all know, I would expect Fulham to beat. Is it Derby they're playing? I think it's Derby,
yeah,
and then
third,
Villa
are
in the other.
I'm a bit annoyed about that, because I thought Newcastle could have Mitrovic back for the last game of the season.
Yeah,
if they'd have gone and bought Mackley,
you were really looking forward to that.
Benitez doesn't want that.
More match.
My prediction would be Villa to beat Fulham in the playoff final. That's what I think will happen, because I think Fulham have been brilliant, especially in the second half of the season, of course. But I just worry that they won't go up, and then they'll lose the likes of Mitrovic. We have to hand it back, and Sessegnon might finally go. But who knows? I still have a little bit of hope. What about Bolton? What a survival job that was, Jim Campbell.
Mm.
Yeah, you agree?
Yeah, I do.
You're stunned into silence. <Yeah. laughs> they stayed up, of course, beating Nottingham Forest 3-2 in quite dramatic fashion. Birmingham survived, as did Reading, but Barnsley and Burton both lost. So Bolton needed a win against Forest, and they scored two goals in the final few minutes. David Wheater.
31, to use his full name, 31-year-old warhorse David Wheater.
Is what he only 31?
Yeah,
don't know.
Mad. It is mad.
That is.
Well, but Wilbraham's 38.
Yeah.
And he got the winning goal.
But Wheater looks older.
He does, yeah. I thought they got the ages mixed up.
I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that when Wheater, because Wheater got the equaliser, right?
Yes.
He doesn't score very often, and obviously he forgot to get the ball. So someone else had to go and get the ball, because there's only a couple of minutes left.
That's right. In a remarkable comeback, and Bolton have survived.
Mm.
So well done them.
Yeah, fantastic drama. Well done them. Last day drama.
Let's go down to League One. Rochdale, they had a remarkable survival as well.
Best friends, your best friend's dad,
Keith Hill. Yeah, he's kept them up. What a season they've had. Well, I mean, good FA Cup run.
They look dead and buried at Christmas.
Yeah, true.
When they had that cup run, Marcus, and we'd be preparing for a show and Rochdale playing whoever they're playing in the cup, and they eventually got knocked out by Spurs, but they had a bit of a run. You'd look at Rochdale's league form. Every time I check, bottom. Yeah. Every time. Mm-hmm. And they've managed to get out of it. Good for them.
And Joe Thompson, what a story.
Great
there.
Story,
scoring the goal that kept them up, of course. Twice has Joe Thompson has recovered from cancer. His second diagnosis was last year and only returned to playing in December.
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
He was interviewed around the FA Cup as well, around the game with Spurs, and he seemed a lovely fella, so good for him as well.
Yeah, no, really great story. They obviously, Oldham, you know, shame to see them go down, but someone's got to take Rochdale's place, I suppose.
Whenever you mention Oldham in that sort of context, I just think Andy Ritchie, Premier League.
Yeah.
They were the Premier League team, Oldham.
They were. Yeah. They were indeed, eh? So there we are. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go for a little break now. Press the button, Peter.
All right, then.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
It is.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to This Disgrace, the Football Ramble. The Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365, will be out on Thursday. Luke, how did our better get on?
You know. Nicole McCann. It's a win for Bournemouth against Swansea. So she That's raised some one. Decent money for Prostate Cancer UK.
Beautiful.
And Nicole, if you're listening, I hope you are, you're back in the hot seat for Thursday ahead of the final weekend of the Premier League season.
Well, Nicole was determined to do well.
She has done. Mm, she has done.
Great start.
And from memory, I think she's raised £105 for Prostate Cancer UK, so that's not too bad.
Not too shabby.
Look out for her next best bet on Thursday's show.
Absolutely.
Will she get a shot at the third,
well,
third door?
I believe she will, because we'll be doing the show ahead of the cup final and stuff like that.
It's cup final, it's Champions League. You know,
exciting.
Europa Absolutely. League final as well, Jim. It's still happening, whether you like it or not.
Now we turn our attention to international football, of course. We have to say, before we talk about our iconic England moments, Sepp Blatter was interviewed recently and was asked if he'll be in Russia next
This is
month.
Lovely. This is lovely stuff.
Of course, for the World Cup. Mm. It's not his holiday destination. He had this to say. I will be present at the opening match, Russia against Saudi Arabia, on June the 14th. If Vladimir Putin invites me, also, before at FIFA Congress, then two presidents would be president, Gianni Infantino and me, because I'm still president. I was never voted out, just suspended.
Get over it, Seth.
Yes.
Yeah.
FIFA's not
going to phone ahead.
FIFA said something wonderfully withering in response, didn't they?
He is allowed to go to the World Cup as a spectator, no problem. He does not attend the games in an official capacity.
No, as a spectator,
no problem.
Yeah.
Spectator.
Yeah. Oh, can I see your ticket, please, Mr. Platter? Yeah, Just down there on the left.
Yeah. Yeah. In between the two fat lads.
It's like in the end, at the end of the thick of it when Malcolm Tucker wants to speak to the Prime Minister because he's been fired.
That's
and
right.
Steve Fleming says, not immediately available to you at the moment. Sorry, Mr. Blatter. The VIP lounge is not immediately available to you at present.
Yeah, and probably never will be again.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
He's going to turn up in a mascot suit.
Yeah. Well, it is worth remembering, though, if you think you're going to be shot of Sepp Blatter anytime soon, João Havelange did live to be 100 years old.
Incredible.
He lived in exile, though, at the end of his life.
100 years old, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was stripped of his...
Presumably with the internet, so he could tell everyone what he was doing. Mm. That's Sepp Blatter's future. Sepp Blatter is a mere slip of a lad. How old is he?
Oh,
82. He's 82. Oh, okay.
He's got ages. Yeah. He's got ages to mount a comeback.
Yeah. It's time for some new
Stage
blood.
Stage of coup.
Time for some fresh blood.
With some experience.
And I will spill it if need be.
Yeah.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time to talk about our England Moments feature brought to you by LG OLED TV. See it, hear it, feel it. Live the game with LG, proud sponsors of the FA and the England men's teams. Ahead of the World Cup, of course, we're reliving an iconic England moment chosen every Monday by you, the listener, with every chosen moment being entered into a competition to win a brand new LG TV.
Boom!
The winner of the TV will be announced in the final show of the series feature on Monday, 4th of June.
Can I just say, I've got an LG TV at home and it is so good that I replaced my old one with it, which was also an LG TV, and I am living the brand.
Yeah, and if these moments are good enough, you're going to give your TV to a runner-up?
No,
okay,
not happening. Head of the World Cup, be mad to do that. I'm really excited for this week's moment.
Well, last week we had David Platt's extra time winner against Belgium at World Cup 90, chosen by Joel Bradley. This week we're going with James Parkhurst's suggestion. James emailed us this. It has to be David Beckham's free kick against Greece to take England to the 2002 World Cup. The kit, the shaved head, the last minute. Germany not being able to beat Finland, having beaten them 5-1. Even Heskey scored. That's, of course, England against Germany, not Finland against Germany. Give that man a knighthood. Of course, we completely balls it up at the end, but for 30 seconds, standing in the East Slope bar at Sussex University, covered in lager, I was as happy as I could have been.
James, that's a fantastic summation, because I was also at uni, covered in lager when that happened. And it is personally a way we can talk about other moments that were more important and all the rest of it. For me, this is debatably my favourite England moment as an adult.
To nick a point against Greece at home.
Yeah.
but this is the turning point in the redemption story of David Beckham, isn't it? Mm. I think you would argue. Because obviously we
for
all know what happened. For some people. We all
for some
know
people,
what happened
his star never
Cup.
Fell. I supported him through it all.
Quite.
Yeah.
So 1998, obviously he gets sent off in the World Cup. It's all a... And he's just vilified, isn't he? He was absolutely vilified. People were burning effigies. It was
quite shared his head.
It was. Can I just say also, Jim, I watched that back recently, the Simeone incident. It's a really harsh sending off, and I don't think anything was made of that at the time.
Mm. He gave the referee an option.
You can't kick out. The referee, remember that French referee who kicked out in the exact same way when he fell over?
He just got a referee of the year.
Yeah, referee of the year, didn't he? Yeah.
But
the other candidates?
But you're right, Jim. It's an interesting story with this redemption thing of him, because the free kick he scored, the actual moment that James has brought to our attention is obviously a fantastic moment. It's a great free kick and all the rest of it. But he had about four or five before that he'd not scored. But his performance in that game, if you guys remember, I'm sure you do, the rest of the team were well below par. The defence looked really nervous.
They were awful.
And he was all over the place, wasn't he?
If it wasn't for Beckham, England would have had to go through a playoff to get to that World Cup. England, of course, had lost to Germany, Kevin Keegan's last game in charge.
Yeah. That was the same qualification cycle,
It was. It was. So they'd lost 1-0 to Germany at home, and it was between England and Germany to top the group. First place went through automatically. Second place would go through a playoff. England had got themselves going again with the goals of Beckham and Owen. I think might have been away to Slovakia that happened. Certainly away to Greece they won 2-0. I think Beckham might have scored a free kick in that game, actually, in a 2-0 win away to Greece. Greece were not... I know sometimes Greece qualify for tournaments and they can get to the knockout phase. It wasn't one of those Greek sides. Mm. They would have their chance a few years later, of course, winning Euro 2004. But England, it all went into England versus Germany. Of course, England beat Germany 5-1. Goal difference and head-to-head and all the rest of it. And it just set up England needing to equal or better Germany's result on the last game of qualification. Germany had Finland at home. Again, not one of the sides that were threatening to finish in the top two.
But they were good at home, Finland, weren't they? Finland
I think England drew with Finland at home, maybe. In that. But the game was in Germany.
Right.
And Anthony Niemi, I think it was, in goal, former Hearts goalkeeper now.
And Southampton.
And Southampton.
With Fulham as well.
Oh, possibly. He kept Germany out. Like, it was Germany were peppering the goal, and of course England went 1-0 down to Greece fairly early on against the, well, not against the run of play. It was a bit of a drab game.
But we scored the equaliser, then they scored again straight
away.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, Greece went 1-0 up, and it was kind of like, oh, that's, okay. There's still a lot of the game left, and England just got nervy. And let's be honest, those England players, they bottled it. Mm. And then Sheringham came on, as he did, who's often super sub, scored, nice header. And it was like, right, back on, about 20 minutes to go. And then Greece, bang, 2-1. Yeah. A minute later, I think, and everyone was like, oh, crap, we are buggering this up. Yeah. And all the time, Germany 0-0. And we needed somebody. And Beckham, pretty much single-handed, went right and drove us forward.
But from his position, you would never expect him to... He would take games by the scruff of the neck frequently.
Oh, yeah, he's, I mean, so good for that.
Frequently, he would like run back a do when Rooney and size someone down, because he wasn't the best tackler in the world.
True.
But he would take games by the scruff of the neck. And this is a really good example of, like, nobody else seems... They seem interested, but they just seem incredibly nervy. He's Hollywood all day, so
absolutely.
He just drives.
The game's at Old Trafford as well, which is a big part of it. The atmosphere, from memory, seemed amazing. I also vaguely remember some sort of scandal in the week leading up to that game around players drinking, which is a typical story for England. Because the match report, if you really read it, talks about how it was a really difficult week for Sven as England manager. Mm. All this different disciplinary stuff to deal with. I can't fully remember the detail of that.
Wouldn't be the most difficult week looking back on
career. But I mean, this is early in Sven's career, because he's not taking England to a tournament and all the rest of it.
That's right, yeah.
And the free kick itself is an absolute beauty. And I do think at some point we're going to be, I think maybe we're a bit overdue a reassessment of Beckham's playing career.
Oh, definitely.
Because I don't think, because of all the celebrity that comes along with him, I was explaining Beckham to my wife. She's American, she doesn't really know much. She likes football, she doesn't know much about it. And I think there's a perception among people who don't know that much about football that Beckham is what he is because of his celebrity status, which would be completely understandable. Mm. But you've got to realise, it's not said enough, his technique, his drive, his passing ability, his work rate. This is a guy who was written off by different managers at big clubs and came back to be a big factor in those teams' success.
The problem with me is, I think I just wish he never retired, to be honest.
Cause ever.
The way that he plays and the things that he did, I just think he could still be doing now. That ball, like one of my favourite crosses, that for Real Madrid into Ronaldo, that big swinging sort of ball
his trademark delivery
onto the end of Ronaldo's toe. It was just obscene, and he did that every single time.
It's almost a purity to the way Beckham played. It was things done with perfection,
finesse. It was a forensic
That iconic ball you're talking about, which he's known for, with the way he addresses the ball and his arm comes out, and that's an iconic thing.
But you think defenders will be able to sort of like catch up, but they never seem to.
But he was also brilliant at picking a pass along the ground from the middle of the pitch into a striker. If you go and watch a game back, one of his best performances or whatever, find one on the internet. His ability to pick out a pass, not just that textbook cross or that free kick delivery, which England could bloody do with now, by the way. His passing ability generally was spot on. And that moment, is it James Parkhurst? James, fantastic for bringing that to the fore, because that is an absolutely beautiful moment. I remember I was at my friend's house at uni, the scenes when it went in. incredible.
But it was nice. I think I'm pretty sure that Germany and Finland had finished.
It had about a minute before the free kick it had been announced that game had finished.
Yeah, so we knew that.
We just needed a goal, basically.
Exactly. But by the way, with David Beckham, in 1999, finished second in FIFA World Player of the Year behind Rivaldo. And in 2001, finished second again behind Luis Figo.
Not bad, is it?
You know, so when you're talking about Beckham's playing career and how good he was,
he was underrated within football.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. But what a moment to look back on there. Thank you very much, James. Great stuff.
And what better way to experience more England moments this summer, if you aren't travelling to Russia, of course, than with an LG OLED TV and soundbar. To win one, just email into competition@thefootballramble.com and let us know your favourite England moment for that chance to win, and we'll select another one on Monday. Here's a tip for you. Don't submit one we've already talked about. That's not going to get chosen. And just to reiterate, the competition winner will be selected from the shortlist we've been broadcasting, the shortlist that we'll have at the start of June. So, yeah, check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. There we are, ladies and gentlemen.
Competition@thefootballramble.com.
That's our latest England moment, brought to you by LG OLED TV. See it, hear it, feel it. Live the game with LG, proud sponsors of the FA and the England men's teams. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll be back on Thursday, of course, for the preview show. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Bye.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.